Okay, good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
And to think you used to kiss me every time I turned around.
I never kissed you when you turned around.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver. The Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats and the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
In the sandy vastness of Arizona Territory, there is no town more cheerless and foreboding than Quartzville. Situated in the midst of arid, dun-colored hills, it sprawled like a tired dog in the never-ending sun. Yet it was beneath these grim volcanic hills that nature had stored her richest silver ore. So there were many mines in and around Quartzville. And it was in the deep shaft of one of them that disaster struck without warning late one afternoon. Tremendous explosion hurled untold tons of rock and gravel across the mouth of a lower cross drift. Over 20 men were sealed in a tomb, condemned to a living death. A shrill voice steam whistle broke the awful news, and a few moments later, hundreds of frightened townspeople raced toward the entrance to the White Hope Mine.
Mike, is it true? Everybody's saying that.
I'm afraid it's true, Miss Julia. Lower level of the White Hope.
There. How could... What caused it?
No way of telling. Maybe one of the boys was using a short fuse, or...
They're not dead. They can't be. We've got to start tunneling through
the... whole bottom of the shaft is gone, Miss Julia. It'd take us 10 years to tunnel through that.
Oh, but there must be some way. We can't just stand here and let Paul and those poor men...
You know the White Hope as well as I do. There ain't no way to... unless...
What?
The Matchless Mine, right above us. Maybe there's a cross drift in that near
the Matchless! That's it! Oh, I'll find Mountain Finchley right away. Oh, Mr. Finchley, you must...
I've heard the news, Miss Clark. One of my men just told me. Where did it happen?
On the lower level. A rescue crew just went down.
It's horrible. Horrible.
But Mike, my foreman tells me that we'll never be able to tunnel through the cave in time. I mean in time to save Paul and...
I've already issued orders for my men to stop work. I'll send them all down in the White Hope.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Finchley. I just knew you would want to help.
In every way possible.
Mike says that maybe there's a cross drift in your mind, the Matchless. We might be able to reach the White Hope that way.
I never thought of that. But it's possible. The Matchless is much older than the White Hope. As you know, I've been operating it for less than a year, and...
Oh, you must have sketches of the original diggings.
I don't know. If I have, they're in the office here someplace. I'll look for them.
Oh, please, please do. Then maybe we can...
What is it, Miss Clark?
I just remembered something. Mike has been here in Quartzville longer than any of us. He's either dug or helped dug every mine within 20 miles. Maybe he has the sketches of the Matchless and the White Hope.
By all means, ask him. And I'll look around here to see if I have any.
Thank you, Mr. Finchley. You don't know how much I appreciate your help.
think of it, I did make a sketch of the old Matchless when we sunk the first shaft. That's a good idea, Miss Julia.
If you'll get them, I'm sure Mr. Finchley will help us with men, tools, or anything else we need.
I've got a crew down there working the cave in right now. As soon as I see how they're making out, I'll go over to my place and find those sketches.
Oh, Mike. We will save the men, won't we?
Now, don't you worry too much, Miss Julia. If it's humanly possible, we'll get the boys out of there. Gotta make a light here. That's better. So I can look through the papers on my desk and see if... Yeah, here they are. By Juniper, I knew that. What the? Well, I know you. You're one of...
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had made camp beside one of the few streams near Quartzville. They were busy repairing saddle gear while their horses enjoyed a well-earned rest.
This isn't an ideal campsite, Tonto. Yeah, but it'll give us a chance to get things in shape before we head for Texas.
It's pretty bad country. Too dry. Me not like it.
We won't stay long. By the way, when you went into Quartzville to get supplies this morning, did you hear any more about that explosion at the White Hope Mine?
Me hear people talk. They say miners trapped in mine not get out. Buried plenty deep.
It's too bad.
What made mine blow up?
There's no way of telling, Tonto. Maybe a premature powder blast or a match igniting a gas pocket. Any one of a dozen things could have caused it.
Me think work in mine plenty dangerous.
It is. I wish there was some way we could help those men who are trapped down there. But I don't know what it would be.
It was 2 days later that a heavy stagecoach pounded along the dusty road from Tucson to Quartzville. Only one passenger had chosen this particular time to visit Quartzville, and he rode on the high box seat beside the driver.
Get along there, you critters!
Oliver Hornblow was not a large man, but he made up in dignity what he lacked in size. His black beaver hat might be dusty and far from new. His frock coat and striped trousers had obviously seen better days, but he wore them with striking conviction. Because Oliver Meredith Hornblow was an actor.
So, you're one of them play actors, eh?
Actor, my good man, I have been privileged to read the Bard's immortal lines in some of the world's finest theaters.
Yeah?
And aren't we all actors? All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts.
You know, I saw a feller one time in a vaudeville show that...
Vaudeville? Oh, it offends me to the soul to see a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundling.
What's that?
Hamlet, third act.
Oh. Say, ain't you kind of off your range up here in Quartzville? Only stage up here is in the Opry House, and it ain't...
For your information, I have been summoned to this provincial hamlet in order to lend my art to a charitable cause.
Charity, eh? You must be talking about the benefit show for the widows and children of the miners who got caught in that blast at the White Hope.
That is correct. Mr. Martin Finchley was in Tucson yesterday, where I and my company of players are temporarily resting between engagements. And upon his request, I consented to appear at the benefit.
Well, it's too bad about them poor miners. I knew most of them personally.
Isn't there still some hope of rescue?
Mighty slim. Young Miss Julie Clark, she owns the White Hope now, since her pa died last year, has got every man in town working on the cave-in.
how about the miners who work for Mr. Finchley?
They're helping too, but it ain't much use. Dirty shame, that's what it is. Paul Becker, young fellow Miss Clark, was gonna marry us down there with the rest of them.
Ah, the uncertainty of life. As Shakespeare so wisely wrote in one of his deathless sonnets, like as the waves make toward the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten.
Whoa, you critters. This is it, Mr. Hornblow. This is Quartzville.
You mean this is... Why, it's nothing more than a collection of benighted hovels.
Even so, it's where you get off. I gotta tool this rig up to the barn.
Oh, well, the worst is not, so long as we can say, this is the worst. That's from King Lear, Act 4.
I always say there's nothing worse than a ham actor. Get up there!
Ham? Ham? Did that miserable varlet, that buckskin bumpkin, call Oliver and Meredith Hornblow a ham? Oh, my feet. Nothing but gravel on this street. And me with no soles in my shoe. And another thing. I'm hungry. 15 cents. Oh, well, doth not good digestion wait on appetite and health on both? I'll find a restaurant. Good day, my fine young friend. A sign on the window proclaims this establishment the Busy Bee Restaurant. I trust you serve food.
Yeah.
Good.
What do you want, Ham?
Ham? Ham, you say? Did you, insolent young scoundrel of the skillet, you factor of the firkin, you dare to call me Ham?
No need for you to get all riled up, stranger. All I says was... What do you want? Ham? Because if you don't want ham, you're out of luck. That's all we got.
Oh, I beg your pardon, young man.
You want it alone or with eggs?
Why, what is the price of, shall we say, a ham sandwich?
15 cents.
Excellent. Prepare it at once.
Sure. Coming right up.
Oh, just a moment.
Yeah?
There's one thing more. Noticed a thick and well-folded piece of parchment paper here on the table. Does it belong to you?
Nah, somebody must have left it here. You can have it.
Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times. A good, thick piece of paper. It will serve as an excellent shield for this hole in my shoe. There. A mender of bad souls, a surgeon to old shoes. That's from Julius Caesar, Act 1.
In the meantime, a man who had committed murder tried hard to explain a loss.
You half-witted loco coyote, you lost it. What do you think the boss'll say when he finds out we...
It ain't my fault, Reno! Just an accident, that's all. I've been carrying them 2 pieces of paper around in my pocket ever since.
You gotta find them. Where have you been lately?
No place, Sip. Say, maybe them sketches could have slipped out of my pocket when I was...
Where?
Down at Busy Bee Cafe. I was getting something to eat there about an hour ago, and...
Come on, we're gonna find out. Hey, kid.
Yeah?
You see anything around here, like a couple of pieces of paper folded together?
I thought I might have left them there when I...
Paper? Huh. Was it kind of yellow and thick-like?
That's it!
Sure. Peppery old gent had a sandwich in here about 5 minutes ago. It was laying right there on the table, so he...
Did he pick it up?
Yeah, I was watching him. He crammed the whole thing inside his right shoe.
In his shoe?
Which way did this gent go?
Down the street, towards the Opry House.
Come on, Slim.
Ah, this is indeed an ideal day for...
Hey, you! What stop! You've got something...
Two angry townsfolk, and they're carrying guns. Oliver, this is a time for action.
Stop!
Hey, you!
Stop, yo, coot!
Emperor's legs, Slim. We've got to show up fast.
They've mistaken me for a criminal. But this is no time to argue. I must get away. What I need is a horse. That's it. My kingdom for a horse. There. There's one. This is an oddly shaped saddle. And heaven forbid I should ever become a horse thief, but get up.
Wait! Wait, please! That's my horse!
Come on, Slim. We'll straddle our bronc and run that critter down.
There, Tonto, I think we've got all the gear packed now. As soon as I tighten this saddle cinch, we'll be heading out.
Himo Sabi.
What's the matter?
Look, little fella, tall hat, ride his way plenty fast.
Yes, and the two men chasing him are using guns. I don't know who that man is, Tonto, but he needs help. Come on, Silva.
Get him up, Scout.
Urging their mounts forward at top speed, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were soon racing alongside the horse that carried a badly frightened Oliver Hornblow.
Who are... More outlaws!
Guide him over that ridge, Tonto. Then circle back to our camp. I'll stop these men behind us.
You, straight ahead.
No.
Do like me.
No, I...
Do him fast. Idiot.
No.
Whoa, Silver!
Whoa.
Look, Reno!
Yeah, an owl hoot. Him and the old gent must be working together.
There's Redskin riding with him. There they go, hot-tailing it over the ridge!
They'll trail him. As soon as I crease this hombre with a mask, get that cayuse off the trail. Before I...
Better not use that gun. You'll regret it.
Why, you... Oh, my hand. He put a slug right through my hand.
I'm gonna...
Keep it in leather, unless you want the same thing he got, or worse.
Listen, no lead-slinging long riders gonna...
I'm going to count to three. And if you men don't turn those horses around and head the other way before I've finished, I'll plant some bullets where they'll do the most good. One.
Come on, Rena. I ain't hankering to stop his kind of lead. Giddy up!
Get up!
Come on, Silver! Whoa, Silver! Well, Tonto, I see that you and he made it back to camp all right.
Man, pretty scared. Not talk.
Scared? Who wouldn't be scared? For no reason at all, I'm pursued by armed brigands, forced to seize the first horse I can find, and...
I thought that horse belonged to someone else. He seemed to be having a little trouble riding side saddle.
Side saddle? No wonder I can't... I mean, I think I'll just stand up. What difference does it make? I'm now the prisoner of a masked outlaw. One whom the vile blows and buffets of mankind have so incensed that you are reckless in what you do to spite the world. That's from the third act of...
Macbeth.
Why, yes, it is. How did you know?
After a well-graced actor leaves the stage...
An outlaw? Who quotes Shakespeare? Tell me, who are you?
I'm not an outlaw. Neither is Tonto. And it's far more important that you tell me why those men were chasing you.
Alas, I haven't the slightest idea.
You are a professional actor, aren't you?
I, sir, am Oliver Meredith Hornblow, a humble delineator of the Bard's immortal...
Just visiting Quartzville?
I accepted an engagement in this misbegotten hamlet for this evening. A charity performance for the benefit of...
Oh, yes, I heard about it.
Upon my arrival, I hastened to a restaurant for a bite to eat. Leaving there, I was set upon by these scoundrels who tried to kill me. So I purloined a horse and...
There must have been some reason for them to chase you.
None whatsoever. They just began to shoot, and one of them yelled, "Aim for his leg. We'll get that shoe off fast."
Then it must be something connected with your shoe that... Let's have a look at them.
Well, to tell the truth, this is most embarrassing. You see, the trunks containing my wardrobe have been delayed, and these shoes are, well, you know how we people of the theater are superstitious about old things. They are slightly worn.
Let me see them.
The fact is, I have an old piece of paper serving as a sole for one of them. Just for a joke, of course.
Paper? Where'd you get it?
In that restaurant I told you about. It was just lying there, and as it was, a good stout piece of parchment, I... See?
Why, there are two pieces of paper folded together. And they...
Such a trivial matter. I'm sure it isn't...
Wrong, Oliver. These are no ordinary pieces of parchment.
What do you mean?
They're plans of some kind. Sketches of... Here it is, written right at the bottom.
What?
A plan of all the levels, drifts, and cross shafts of the Matchless and White Hope mines.
But that couldn't be the reason for...
I think it is. Yes, I'm sure of it. Because, according to this plan of the Matchless, there's an old drift that cuts down to...
Imasabi.
What is it, Tonto?
Horse that him ride with side saddle. There's name on saddle.
Yes, it probably belongs to some woman who...
Name say Julia Clark.
Clark? Julia Clark? Why, that's the girl who owns the White Hope. The mine where the men are.
My good fellow, if you really aren't an outlaw, and if you'll be so good as to return my shoe, I'll...
Unpack the gear, Tonto. We're not leaving here. At least for a while.
I say, you will allow me to go into town, won't you? Even though my reception in Quartzville has, so far, been one of the unmitigated rudeness... Oliver Hornblow never cancels an engagement. I'll appear at the benefit this evening and give several readings from the Bard's plays. Handicapped as I am by the lack of a supporting cast, I shall...
Don't worry, Oliver. I'll see that you get to the benefit on time. And I might even rake up a supporting cast for you.
It was later that evening that three figures moved quietly through the shadows surrounding the Matchless Mine.
Such Stygian blackness in the dead vast and middle of the night. That's from the first act of...
Quiet. I don't think there are any men working here tonight, but we can't be sure, Tonto. Mm. This is the engine house right ahead of us.
Ooh.
There may be an engineer in there. I hope so, because that'll mean there's steam up to operate the cage. You can handle him, can't you, Tonto?
Need to.
Go ahead.
Hey, what the? A redskin. Listen, engine, you can't...
No more talk. Me shut him up. That good.
Tonto?
Me fix him. Just one man.
Everyone else must have left. Gone into town.
The more I think of what you've told me, that unwittingly I have crossed the path of a knave so foul, so treacherous, so...
Wait, we haven't proven anything yet. We can't be sure till you and I go down into the mine and follow this map.
I? You mean you want me to...
There's no telling what we'll find. I may need your help. Someone has to stay above ground to operate the steam hoist. You can do that, can't you, Tonto?
Me do whatever you say, Kimasabi.
Good. There's probably an indicator in the engine room to show the different levels. When I give the signal, let us all the way down. Come on, Oliver. Here's the shaft, and that's the cage. Step right over there.
You mean we're going to entrust our lives to this fragile bit of wood and metal?
Hundreds of men do it every day. Hang on. I'm going to signal Tondo to let us down. Here we go.
Oh, what a fall was there, my countrymen. That's from
Julius Caesar. Here we are, Oliver.
It's cold, dark, and
that's why I brought a candle and matches. Here, hold this map while I strike a light. Let's see. We'll follow the lower level for about 200 yards, and take a cross drift and angles to the left, and come on!
Methinks I would give all my fame for a pot of ale in safety. But lead off, I will follow. How much further?
I don't know. All we can do is follow the map.
We've walked 1,000 leagues.
Not quite that far, Oliver. Come on. Now, at this point, we should be
halfway to China. A curse, I say, upon the
Wait, I think I hear. It's up ahead. It's the miners. We've found them. Two days and nights without food or water. Stand back, Oliver. I'm going to shoot that padlock off the door. Now, if I can just...
Watch out, men. It might be another one of Finchley's tricks.
Don't worry, we're not...
Masked. So, Finchley sent an owl-hoot down here to finish his dirty job. Come on, boys. At least
Wait,
we can...
Wait, I'm not an outlaw. You're the miners from the White Hope, aren't you?
This is the White Hope. We've been trapped down here ever since some of Finchley's men set off a blast that closed our main shaft.
I thought so.
You're not one of his bunch. How come you found this tunnel? It must be part of the old Matchless mine.
It is, and we never would have found it without this sketch. A friend of mine talked to Miss Clark this evening. Evidently, Mr. Finchley didn't stop at one more murder to try and keep all of you
Julia,
here.
Is she all right?
I'm sure she is. I wonder why he went to all this trouble to...
I know. Because this motherlode of the Matchless is played out. He tried to kill all of us with that blast. And when that failed, he figured he'd keep us bottled up here till we starved to death. Then maybe he could cut through here and tap the White Hope. Wait till I get my hands on that murdering skunk.
It'll be a hard thing to prove. Finchley will claim the blast was an accident. Unless we can... Oliver! You can prove it.
I
have a supporting cast for your performance at the same time.
I don't understand.
Neither do I, stranger. But I like the way you talk, even if you are wearing a mask. My name's Paul Becker, and...
We'll have to hurry. Paul, there isn't much time. The first thing to do is to get above ground. Then I'll explain what I mean.
Sure. Come on, boys.
The benefit performance at the Quartzville Opera House was an assured success. This audience was large and responsive, although everyone was saddened by the recent tragedy at the White Hope Mine. As Oliver Hornblow waited in the wings to present his act, he was sure no one had seen him open the stage door and admit 20 grim and vengeful miners. He listened to Martin Finchley introduce him before the drawn curtain.
And now, my friends and fellow citizens, I take great pleasure in introducing a sterling artist who has so graciously consented to lend his talent to this worthy cause, Mr. Oliver Meredith Hornblow.
Thank you. As my humble contribution this evening, I will endeavor to enact the trial scene from The Merchant of Venice. Unfortunately, there aren't enough players to lend realism to the scene, so I must ask for your help. As you know, the scene is a courtroom, and I need someone to play the villain. Who'll volunteer? Let's see. How about you, Mr. Finchley? Surely you're not averse to playing a part in one of Shakespeare's finest dramas.
Why, no. I'm not much of an actor, but I'd be glad to help.
Splendid, splendid. Take this seat right here, Mr. Finchley. Now we can proceed. I'll explain what's going to happen. Mr. Finchley is the accused. I am the lawyer. And you, the audience, are the jury. Only one thing is lacking. Witnesses. I'll present them now. All right, Tonto, raise the curtain. Yes, it's these men brought up from the secret tunnel where Martin Finchley hoped to kill them and rob the girl who owns the White Hope. These are the witnesses against Martin Finchley.
Say, you can't.
It's already done, Mr. Finchley. You are accused and convicted.
Julia.
The sheriff and his men have already arrested your hirelings who murdered Miss Clark's foreman. They are waiting in the wings now to arrest you.
Oh, Mr. Hornblow, you were wonderful. Everyone in Courtsville is eternally grateful to you, especially Paul and me.
It is not I who deserves your gratitude, my child.
Say, Hornblow.
Oh, it's you. The caustic violet who drives the stage.
Yeah, just wanted to congratulate you, Hornblow. You sure gave a great performance. Yes, sir, it was great.
Great? Ah, my friend, if you only knew the truth. Some are born great. Some achieve greatness. And some have greatness thrust upon them.
Guess so.
By the Lone Ranger.
Footlights on the Frontier featured the voice talents of Bernadette M. Groves as Julia, Paul Lavelle as Mike, Christopher Stodler as Finchley, Bill Hallweg as Slim, Murray Retread as Paul, Mike Hennessey as the stage driver, H. Keith Lyons as Oliver Hornblow, Joe Stopko as Reno, Johnny T. as Tonto, and Jim Patton as the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger and related characters were created by George W. Trendle and Fran Stryker and lovingly restored by the Misfits Audio Players. Executive Producer, Captain John Tatterzak. Producer, Director, Engineer, and Sound Effects, Jim Smagata. Webmaster, April Sadowski. Art Director, Stephen Sash Scott. The Lone Ranger was adapted for Misfits Audio by Captain John Tatterzak and was presented for enjoyment and nostalgic purposes only. And I'm your announcer, John Specht, for Misfits Audio. Copyright 2011.